Well, if you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 13. James, chapter 4, and verse 13. This is a passage of Scripture that speaks to us about living presumptuously. Living presumptuously. It speaks to us about the brevity of life, how short life truly is. And then it gives us some warning and some much needed instruction. I've entitled it, The Danger of Presumptuous Living. The Danger of Presumptuous Living. Living life as if you have 1,000 tomorrows. Living life without real regard for God and what God is calling you to do and His will. The danger of living and planning life while just leaving God kind of out of the picture or shoved off to the side. That's really what this passage of Scripture is addressing. And that's how many people live life. We live in a world where so many live without regard for God, without regard for God's will. That's certainly more and more been the case of our nation and those leading our nation. So many in the nation and around the world live presumptuously, presuming upon life, presuming upon time, presuming they have plenty of time and they are here and can live however they see fit without any real thought and any real regard for God or what God would say. And such is the mindset of so many in our world. They live as if they were in control of life. If they're in control of their own fate, when in reality, man is nothing but a speck of dust. He's nothing but a little speck of dust before the all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God. And this same mentality, this same thinking, often even creeps into the church and those who profess to follow Christ. Many professing Christians, when it gets right down to it, simply live and plan their life apart from God. Life gets so busy and, you know, you run out of church on the Monday and before long, Monday, Tuesday, you're just living life and you're so busy, you're not taking time to draw away and really pray or really be into the Word, and you're just flying through this day and that day, and life is so fast and so busy, you're just going through life and doing all these things and you're not really surrendered to God and seeking God, and you're presuming upon all these things and these plans, and your heart has drifted from God and what God is truly calling you to do. And children grow up being taught, you know, they can do anything they set their minds to. Dream big. You know, dream big and then go out and chase those dreams, when in reality, they need to say, and here's wisdom that we should be giving to our children, son or daughter, you need to seek God out. God created you. He loves you. He made you. When He created you, before the world was, He had a plan for your life. Seek Him out and go after that plan. Go after God. Go after His plan, His will for your life. Set your heart to seeking God and laying hold of that for which God created you and saved you, and go after that. And your life will have good success and you'll be effective not only for the here and now but for eternity. And you see the differences here. There's great danger of simply just living life and making plans and doing all that we do day in, day out, month after month, year after year, and really just drifting into this rut where we're leaving God out of the picture. And that is the specific sin that's dealt with in this passage of Scripture. It is the evil of planning life and just living life and assuming you have plenty of days and plenty of time and plenty of resources and not really getting away with God and submitting to God and going after Him and His will. Let's look at this. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Father, as we open up your word, I pray you would just help us, God. We are so often distracted. Even as we gather for worship, so often so many things running through our mind and everything on our plate and what we got going on today and all these things. But God, I pray you would help us to clear our agenda this morning, clear everything off our plate and all that's in our minds and just focus upon you and what you have to say. You give us every moment of every day. It's not by accident. And the only way we're going to have another breath or tomorrow or even more time this afternoon is if you give it to us. And so, God, I pray you would help us just to be on the edge of our seats and ready and desperate for you to speak to our hearts through your word this morning. Help us to see. Help us to hear. Help us to understand. Help me, God, that I would be emptied of me and self, and there wouldn't be anything left in me, in my mind or thoughts, but Christ, His Word, His will, His thoughts, His truth. And enable me, God, to make these truths known that we might understand them and that they might drive into our heart. We would get a hold of them and live them. I do pray, Father, specifically for those who are lost. They have not truly been born again. They have never truly come to genuine repentance and abandoning self and sin for Christ and putting faith in Him alone and truly been born again and regenerated and changed by His power. God, I pray you would save those who need to be saved. And all who are yours, God, I just pray you would take this word and drive it down into our heart. So many of us, we know this passage. We've heard it. We've read it. We've heard it preached. But God, that it would be fresh and new and we'd be reminded of these truths and would see this all the more, and it would be all the more real, the necessity of living this and really examining our heart and making sure we're not growing hard and drifting and just winging it through life and not really living surrendered to you and acknowledging you and lifting up every moment and everything in our life before your throne and truly living in a way that would honor you and be submissive to you and would count for eternity. Lord, I know I and many of us, we don't want to waste our lives on the temporal. We don't want to squander such holy things that you have entrusted into our care. And so God, help us to live for Christ and what matters for eternity. Help us to take these truths to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. The danger of presumptuous living. There's only two ways you can live your life. You can live your life foolishly and ignore God and God's word and God's will for you, or you can live your life humbly with wisdom and submit to God's will and God's word and be seeking that in your life. But it's one or the other. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other. And that's what we see in this passage of Scripture. The first thing I want you to notice is the foolishness of ignoring God's will. The foolishness of ignoring God's will. And this passage is built around a very common reality in life. It is that of a businessman who is busy planning life and he's ordering his life and looking ahead, but he's doing so foolishly. He's planning his life, he's looking ahead, he's living life without regard for God. Without regard for God and God's will. And when a person lives life like that, foolishly, they're just busy living life and God's kind of been shoved to the side and they're so busy, they're not really surrendering each day and everything in that day to God and bringing it under His word and will, then these are the results. Here's the results. Four things of living a life foolishly and just kind of ignoring God and God's will for you. Four things. Number one, that person plans their life without God. They plan their life without regard for God. Verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit." Now, that's how most people live their life, just like this. They're planning life. They're planning what they're going to do today. They're planning what they're going to do tomorrow. But they're ignoring God, and they're ignoring God's will and God's sovereignty and God's power over their life and the fact that God is the one holding their tomorrow in His hands. God and God's will is just something for many, especially many out in the world, it never enters their mind. They're not thinking about God and what God would want. That's not on their agenda. They live their life and they make their plans completely apart from God. God and God's will to them is basically non-existent. That's how they live their life. It's not really even a thought. And then there are others who, you know, they might think of God from time to time. God might enter their mind and their thoughts. They may even pray to God when they are pressed and they have a need and they begin to struggle through certain circumstances. It moves them to then give God some regard and begin to seek God out. But other than that, during those hard times, God's not in the picture. They're just living life, and they only really turn to God when they're pressed, when they're forced. You know, this is how all of us lived when we were lost. If you lived any time apart from God and really knowing God, we can relate to that. So if we were brought up kind of in church and knowing God but weren't saved till later in life, I mean, we would give God some lip service and we might turn to God here and there, but we're just living life. And we're not considering God and His Word or the things that are holy or eternal. We're just focused on the world and living our life and going after it and planning our day. And I mean, this is how we lived, isn't it? This is how our lost world lives. And even as Christians, we can fall into that mentality where, you know, we come to church and we're worshiping God, but when we hit Monday, God is something that happened on Sunday. And here we go, and we're not really in effective prayer, tucking ourselves away with God before we do anything that day. We're not really desiring God in the Word. And I don't know your life. I just know the battle of this and how you can drift from prayer and the Word and hit Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you're so busy in life and all that you've got going on, you get through the week, and you just haven't been living surrendered to God or living in this way. Just going through each day, dealing with your family, dealing with work. Tomorrow evening we're going to do this. Friday we're going to go do that. And you're leaving God out of the picture. This is very common. And those words, come now, you see that? Come now. They are used to get our attention. This is used and spoken in a kind of a harsh way. Have you ever, you know, when you were a child growing up, have mom or dad just come over and grab your ear? Give you a little yank to get your attention? Maybe give you a flick on the head? To kind of like, whoa, listen up. Listen up. That is exactly the connotation these words have. It is almost as though God, through James, is grabbing our ear this morning and saying, come now and listen up here. Listen up. That's what God is doing. And so take note here, He is speaking as well to a very specific group of people. And He identifies them by what they say. Come now, grab us by the ear, God is, you who what? Who say. It's spoken in the tense that they are saying this habitually. Come now, you who are habitually saying. This is, in other words, a continual way of life. This has become their habit. This is how they're living Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, day in, day out. They are saying this. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit. So mark it down, they are those who are habitually planning and living life, making decisions, deciding what they're going to do each day, but without regard for God. Without regard for God. And again, this is how most people live their life. The mindset, the attitude of this consumes most people. It's just part of the sinful nature. On that level, it's part of the sinful nature. Most people grow up in life as a small child, and you know, they're beginning to make plans, and every day, hey, what are we going to do this weekend? We're going to go to school. I'm going to hang out with my friends. And then they begin to think, well, what am I going to pursue? What am I going to do when I grow up? What career am I going to pursue? And who am I going to marry? And hey, what are we going to do for vacation? What are we going to do this? What are we going to do this weekend? All this. But they're leaving God out of the picture. And God is grabbing us by the ear and saying, listen up and come get a hold of this. And so I pray that we will listen up. Notice how their planning is and how precise this is. Verse 13, they're planning when. Today or tomorrow. When they're going to do something. They're planning where. We're going to go over to such and such a city. They're planning how long. We're going to spend a year there. We're going to spend the weekend there. Whatever it is. How long. They're planning what? We're going to go there. We're going to what? Buy and sell. This is what we're going to do. And they plan the result. We're going to have fun. We're going to make a profit. We're going to make some money on this adventure. They're planning the result. They have it all planned out. They're making their decisions. They're living their life. They're deciding what they're going to do. They've got it all determined. Now understand, there's nothing wrong with looking ahead. There's nothing wrong with planning ahead. There's nothing wrong with trying to be wise with your time and what you do and trying to plan ahead and what you're going to do. That is wise. Let me give you a couple of verses that speak to that truth. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Nothing wrong with making plans, but do it with wisdom. Do it with a multitude of godly counselors, because if you don't, they will go awry and they'll avail nothing. So nothing wrong with planning. It just needs to be wise planning. Amen? Jesus said in Luke 14:28, "Which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and consider the cost? Rather, he has enough to finish it." Nothing wrong with making plans and saying, "Hey, I'm going to build this." But you better do it wisely, and you better consider the cost, and you better consider God, and if that would be what He would have you to do, or else again, you're just wasting your time, and it's to no avail. And so the problem here with this mindset revealed here in verse 13 is not with what is said necessarily, but it's with what is not said. And notice, there is no mention of God. There is no mention of God and God's will. There's no thought for the sovereignty of God over all things, His power, His control. Rather, you have your next breath, or He even gives you that next day. Rather, you have your life to plan these things and what God would. There's no thought of God. That is the problem here. And on that note, let me give you another passage. Isaiah 30:1. "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Now, that's what happens when you leave God out of the picture. You might get something done on this earth that's worldly, but it is to no avail before God and His kingdom, and all you're doing is adding sin to sin to sin when you're leaving God out of the picture of your life, even on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. That is evil. "Woe to the rebellious children who take counsel not of me, devise plans but not of my spirit," that they're just adding sin to sin. So nothing wrong with planning ahead. The problem is in planning ahead and leaving God and His will for your life and His will for every moment of every day, just throwing that out and just getting busy and missing that. That's the evil here. That is the sin. That is the danger. Planning and living life and not really giving regard to God, His will, His power, His sovereignty, His word, His truth over your life. And again, this is how the majority of people live. You know how I know that? Because that's how I lived. And there's no temptation that's overtaken you or me or anyone that is not common to man. I know what it's like to live lost. I lived that way for 23 years. I know what it's like to be saved and changed and have a new heart and new direction. Been living that way for quite a few more years. I know the battle of it from an unbeliever who doesn't have a clue, and I know the battle of it from a believer. And so this is how so many people live. They're just planning life day in, day out. Hey, I mean, we know it. We decide as a family, hey, this weekend we're going here. This Friday night, we're going to go out, we're going to go eat here. That He's warning us of that. Just deciding what you're going to do every day, but leaving God out. You're not really surrendered to God, you're not seeking God, and you're leaving Him out of the picture. That's the sin. It is the fatal flaw of presumption. Just presuming upon God, presuming upon your own life, presuming upon this weekend and what you're going to do, and just presuming it'll come and you'll have life and you'll do it. That's the sin. How do you know if you're going to have today? are tomorrow. How do you know that? How do you know that you can go to such and such a city and stay that long, or buy and sell, or do this or that and make a profit, or do this? How do you know those things? It's what God is calling us out on. How do you know you even have your next breath? How do you know you have this afternoon? Let me give you an illustration of this. It's so vivid. Jesus spoke to this very reality over in Luke 12. It's a familiar parable. Jesus is hammering this same reality home. Luke 12, down in verse 16. And Jesus says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." That's exactly what God is warning against here. Notice verse 20, Luke 12, verse 20. "But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So it is with he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This man's error was exactly what we're being warned about here in James, just presuming upon life. Look, he's doing good in life. He's making a profit. It looks like God's blessing him. But he's not considering God. He's making plans to build bigger. He's making plans to even retire, kick back and take his ease. But he hasn't considered God. And so God calls him out. "This night, your soul will be required of you." What kind of man was he? Was he wise? Seemed to be. Making plans, making profit, planning to retire. And God says, "You fool." Why? Left God out. Doing all of that and not truly submitting to God, going after God, praying to God, considering God's word and will, considering what God would have him to do. He's a fool. The person who lives foolishly in presumption, number one, plans life apart from God. Secondly, they fail to recognize the uncertainty of life. Verse 14. They fail to recognize the uncertainty. Verse 14 says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life?" Boy, I mean, this is God like calling us out and giving us some food for thought here. What is your life? "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away." The presumptuous person fails to recognize the uncertainty and the brevity of life. Now, Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Don't boast about tomorrow. Don't boast about what you're going to do Monday morning. Don't plan it all out, and certainly don't plan it all out apart from God. Don't boast as if it's most certainly going to come. Life is too full of uncertainties. And we see a couple of them here. Number one, we don't know the future. Verse 14, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." And we don't. Life is full of uncertainties and complexities. Complexities of forces and events and circumstances and people and choices that they seem to be making. All this going on. All of that beyond our ability to know or even think about controlling. Life is too full of uncertainties to plan it apart from God. Again, that's what people do. They just presume everything's going to keep on going like it always has. Tomorrow is most assuredly going to come. I mean, that's what we're sitting here thinking. Tomorrow's going to come. And yet, we're not promised tomorrow. God is in control of tomorrow for the whole world, and He's in control of your and my tomorrow. And when someone ignores God and God's sovereignty, you know, what is that? That God is in control, that God's orchestrating tomorrow, that it's in His hands, whether we have it or not. When they ignore that, God is in control, they're also ignoring the benefit of that. There is great benefit in knowing that God is holding our afternoon in His hands and tomorrow in His hands, is there not? I mean, beloved, what a privilege it is to know that our God is sitting enthroned in heaven, and all things are under His feet. I mean the universe, the galaxies, outer space, all these things, everything on earth, all of humanity, the nations, everything going on in every nation, everything going on, God is in control of, God is orchestrating, God has a plan, He's decreed the end from the beginning, He's got it all together, amen? There's benefit in knowing that is who your God is. And the benefit of just being able to entrust your life and tomorrow and everything for this day and all of it in His hands and know that He has got you. He's got what happens this afternoon in His hands. He's got what's going to pop up tomorrow in His hands. He's sovereign over it all. He's got it all under His control. We can know Him and we can be directed by Him. And we can be walking in His plan moment by moment, day by day. What an amazing thought that God, who holds it all in His hands, desires me and you to draw near to Him and rely upon Him and walk according to that plan and that will, and not just according to the dictates of our own heart. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass." Boy, that's a promise. Commit your ways to the Lord. See, this isn't committing God to your ways, and then God's going to bring it to pass. God, I want this. God, do that. Now, God's got no. It's committing your ways to God. Right? Committing your ways to Him. Acknowledging God in those ways, acknowledging God in tomorrow and this afternoon, and trusting in God and what He would bring and what He's going to accomplish, and He's going to bring it to pass. He'll put into your heart His will if you're committing everything to Him, you're seeking Him, you're desiring to live in acknowledgement of Him and wanting to accomplish His will. God will bring His will to pass in your life. Why would anyone want to live apart from that? Why go out and just wing it and it all be a pile of ashes, when you can know this God who holds it all in His hands and be submitting to Him daily, moment by moment, walking in that will, fulfilling that, and God bringing His will and desires to pass in your life that will last for eternity? This is what's in the balance here. We do not know the future. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And even if we did, we couldn't control it. We couldn't orchestrate it all. But we do know who holds tomorrow. We do know who is in control of all things. And so, those who live apart from God are failing to recognize the uncertainty of life and who's holding tomorrow. It's not us. It's not coincidence. It's not Mother Nature. It is God Almighty. Amen? So, the uncertainty of life, and then secondly, we don't know the future. We don't know the future. Not only that, but life itself is very fragile. Very fragile. The second half of verse 14 goes on to say, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor." What puts us in our place? That gives us some perspective. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What is your life? Think about that. Chew on this. God says it is even a vapor. That's what your life is. Truth from God Almighty. It is a vapor. What is that? Literally, in the Greek, it's a puff of smoke that comes up. It's a breath of air on a cold day. See that little breath? And then what happens? You see it for just a moment and it's gone. Your life is just on a cold day. It just appears for a little while and it's gone. Such is the life of every person. You know, that's one of those hard truths that we know is a reality. Life is short, but boy, we wrestle with that. We don't really like to go there and even dwell on that too much. Because then but it is good to dwell on that from time to time. We need to know that life is short. That's what God's doing. He's calling us to realize that here. Life is short, it's temporary. And even if we live to an old age, you live to be 80, 90, 100 years old, life is still very, very short. And the older we get, the more that reality is driven into our heart. Do you realize that? Well, none of us know if we're going to make it to 40 or 50 or 60. I've done made it to 51. I don't know if I've got tomorrow. I don't know if I have, if I'm going to come into 55 or 52 or 60. Who knows? We don't know that, do we? Life is full of uncertainties. But what we do know is life itself is very fragile, very short, the brevity of life. The only thing that we know for certain is that we will die. But most of the time we live as if that's not even a reality. We live as if we've got thousands and thousands of tomorrows. But then you start getting a little bit older and you start realizing, boy, my days are getting to be numbered. And I've got more behind me than I have in front of me. And you start to wake up a little bit more and more about eternity and what really matters in life. And so in light of this reality of life being so fragile, how foolish it is to plan our life as if tomorrow will most certainly come and we can do whatever we want. Foolish. Life is a gift from God. Tomorrow is promised to no man. We don't even know if we have our next breath or this afternoon, let alone tomorrow. So we're called to be living in light of these realities. God's pulling us by the ear here and saying, hey, come here. Listen up. Those who are foolish plan their life without God. They fail to recognize the uncertainty of life. Thirdly, they wickedly boast in arrogance. Verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So if this is the way you're living your life, you know, not really giving regard to God, God's will, His power, His sovereignty, you're living without, you know, understanding and acknowledging the uncertainty of life and the brevity of life, then God says you boast. You boast. The word means to be loud-mouthed. You're a loud-mouth. The Greek scholar Zodiades says it is boasting about what one is not or does not possess. Again, he says boasting of that which he thinks or pretends he is or possesses. And so, you know, you think you've got tomorrow, you think you can plan this, but you don't possess that. And you have no knowledge of that. You're boasting. They boast in what they do not possess. They boast in what is not in their power to control. And they do so, notice, in arrogance. Literally, to lift the neck. To lift up the head like a strutting rooster or turkey in haughtiness. And so God is calling out this kind of presumption for what it truly is. It is rooted in pride. It is rooted in arrogance. It assumes that one has power and control over that which only God has power and control. Who are you to live your life as though you're the one sitting on the throne and calling the shots? That's what God's saying. There's only one who has such power, who has such authority, who has such control. And who is that? Come on, church. God, God Almighty. Therefore, all such boasting is evil. This is evil. It is vile, wicked, corrupted, diseased in its nature. This is the same word, evil, used for Satan. He is the evil one, the wicked one. All through 1 John, all through the Scripture, he is called the wicked one. Same exact word. Understand, when we are exalting our will and our plans, determining what we're going to do, leave God out of the picture, we are presuming we have control over what we do not have control over, and we are acting just like Satan. We're being wicked just like the wicked one. It's the essence and it's the nature of Satan himself, of evil. Isaiah 14, Satan said, I will, I will, I will. Again and again and again. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High God. Move out of the way, God. I'm going to sit down on the throne. I'm going to be in charge of my life. I will do what I want to do. I will call the shots. And God said, no, you won't. No, you won't. All such boasting is evil. It's rooted in the depths of evil. God's calling this out for exactly what it is. So they plan their life without God. They fail to recognize the uncertainties of life. They wickedly are boasting in their arrogance. Lastly, and it just comes right along with this, they commit sin. Verse 17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. to him who knows to do good. Okay, so he's got a category here, to the one who knows to do good. What's good? What God says, right? Not what man says, not humanity, not what our world's saying. They've turned evil for good and good for evil. But the one who does know what is good and knows to do that good, but does not do it, to him it is sin. And so this is directed to those who are Christians. He's not addressing a lost world living like this. He's addressing those who are professing Christians who know the will of God and would yet live this way. That's who this letter is addressed to. Who's James writing to? A lost world? No, he's writing to believers. He's writing to the church, those who profess to know God and know His will and do what is good. And so this is a person who knows what God's will is. To pray, to be surrendered, to be dead to self, crucified with Christ, living to God, praying and in the Word of God and living the will of God. They know God, they know the will of God, but yet they are living their life without living that way. They're not really acknowledging God. They're not seeking God. They're not seeking His will. We've all been there. As I said, as a lost person, I live my life like that 24/7. That's how I lived every day. As a saved person, you get saved, you're truly saved, born again, you got a new nature, you're going after God. That's your true heart desire, and yet how often we drift. It's so easy to get looking at the world and, man, I really want to do this. And before long, but you're leaving God out and you're just planning. And if you're a true believer and you do that much, you realize those things just keep crumbling in your hands. You just keep hitting your head against the wall when you get into that place. But we've all been there. We struggle. We wrestle with these things. We know. Our heart gets hard. We begin to drift. We get worldly focused. Before long, we're living life. We're planning life. We're doing all these things. But God is not in His rightful place. Now understand this. We can know the will of God. We can know it. God has not hidden His will from us. But rather, He has clearly revealed it. And when we open up the pages of this Bible, this is God's will. I mean, that sounds pretty simple, but how often? I just don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know about this. And if I just knew God's will, read this book. I can say with absolute authority, this is God's will for you, and this is God's will for me. You don't have to wonder. It's right here. Everything God has spoken, He's spoken for our good, for our conformity to Christ, for we would walk in holiness, we would truly know Him and live for Him and honor Him. It is all in the Word. Simple things. Now, this Word is revealing to us God's general will. General will. What do you mean by that? His will for every man. His will for you, me, every person on the face of the earth. God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How many does God desire be saved? All men. You can look anybody in the eyes in this world and say, God's desire for you is that you would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? God's will for us is that we would be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That's His will for you, His will for me. That we would not be conformed to the world, amen, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We would know by the Word of God and letting it saturate our mind what His will is. So God has given His will for every single person. And then the question comes, well, what about God's specific will? Should I quit my job and pursue this? Should I go back to college? Should I marry this person? What career do I pursue? All these things that is His specific will for each of us. What about those specific things? Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know it well, most of you do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways. Same truth, isn't it? Acknowledge Him in everything. And what's the promise? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and He will what? He will direct your path. He will. You say, I don't know if I'm supposed to marry this person. And you fall on your face and you're saying, oh God, please help me. I don't know if this is the one you have for me. God, please lead me. And all that point you've been praying and saving yourself for that person and asking God to lead you to the right person and you're entrusting that to Him, He will lead you. He will make that clear in your heart. God, I don't know if I ought to sell everything in my house and move and take this job over here. I need to know what you want me to do. God, please lead me. I want to live to honor you. He will direct you. He will. He will not let you take a misstep when you're pleading with him to put you in the right one. And even when we get a little distracted, and we do, if you're his, he'll get you right back. He will. So he'll show you his specific will. This is clearly revealed to us in the Scripture. Proverbs 69, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Again, nothing wrong with planning your way, but acknowledge him in all your ways. And he's going to what? Direct your steps. He might turn you from what you thought. Life was thinking it was going to be this, but it wasn't. If you're acknowledging him, you might be thinking this, but God will close that door and move you. No, it's going to be this. You can trust him. And if we don't live this way, if we're not seeking God in all things and really surrendering to him all these things, then it's sin. To him who knows to do good, does it not? It is sin, and we are accountable. Exhibit 1, Jonah. Jonah. God said, Jonah, I'm going to raise you up as a prophet. I'm going to send you to Nineveh, and you're going to preach 40 days, and Nineveh's going to be thrown down. God's judgment's going to fall. Repent. And Jonah said what? Okay, God, I'll do that. What did Jonah say? Nope. No, I'm going to go get on a boat, and I'm going to go as far away from Nineveh as I can. Take me down, to Tarsus. And what happened? You know the story. I mean, God began to move through the waves and the storm. God began to shake Jonah. God began to shake those men all around Jonah's life. Before long, Jonah's like, you need to get me out of the boat because I'm sinning against God. It's like, okay, get him out of here. A whale. A whale. Where'd God drop him off at after Jonah repented in the belly of that whale? Got back right with God. Where did he end up at? The shore of Nineveh. It's the same for us. If you be in Christ, you can't be in Christ and then drift off into this kind of a mindset and leave God out of the picture and live there. If you do, you're not his. Because if you're his, God will chasten you just like he did Jonah. He'll send a whale. He'll send a storm. He'll do whatever he has to get you right back where you're supposed to be. That's Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. If you're without the chastening of the Lord, you're illegitimate. You're not his. Because everyone whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Every child of his, he disciplines. Why? That they would be made holy. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. And so understand the seriousness of this truth. This is not a suggestion. Dear believer, this is not a suggestion to live this way. God is pulling us by there and saying, listen up. When you live presumptuously, you plan your life without God, you fail to recognize the uncertainty of life, you are boasting in your arrogance, and therefore you're living in sin. And if you can get away with that, then you're not his. And if you get away with that for just a moment, and God then disciplines you and sends a storm and moves you right back where you're supposed to be, and you weep before God and repent, then you're his. Because that's what he'll do to you. So the foolishness of ignoring God and his will, living presumptuously. Now, one last thing, and just quickly, can you give me a few more minutes? I don't have a clock. Trust your pastor, okay? When I'm tucked away all week, I'm only going to give you what God gives me and then what he enables me to for here. Just clean off your slate and say, God, let me hear what you have for me. You've got all these other days in the week, and if there's anything that we ought to get out of this, clean off this spot right here for God. If it takes an extra 15 minutes, what do you got? This day, 15 minutes that you need to get back to that's so important. That's more important than this. I'm not trying to be mean or rude. I love you. Do you hear me, church? I love you. I hope you know when I get up here, I've not gotten up here without being away with God, tucked in prayer and tears, and pleading with God to give me what he wants to give us. Know that. That is my heart. And I need it. I hope you do too. I know you do. I hope you realize that. And so the wisdom, secondly, the wisdom of submitting to God's will. Verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. This is the proper way to look at life. This is the proper way to be planning ahead. Here's how we ought to live. Here's how we ought to speak of and plan for the future. Instead, you ought to say, Lord, if you would will. There is to be continual acknowledgement in our lives, continual, of God's sovereignty, purpose, and plan, and power over all things. Now, this is how the redeemed live. Those who are truly saved and know God, those who have come to true repentance and faith in Christ, transformed by the power of God, regenerated, changed by God's power in their very nature, they live in acknowledgement. The one thing the believer knows is God is in control of all things. God is in control of my life. God is in control of our nation. God is in control of the world and the nations that be. And they live in the wisdom of submitting to God and pursuing God and surrendering to God and acknowledging God and asking God to lead and direct their life, not just here and there. Not just when there's a big decision, every moment of every day. If the Lord wills, if the Lord wills. They know by God's word, because it says it, and by life experience, they've lived it. Everything, every single thing in our life in this world is in the hands of God. It's all dependent upon if the Lord wills. I realize that. You know, that's humbling, but to realize, I don't know if I have tomorrow. I don't know if my wife has tomorrow. I don't know, God forbid, that my children or grandchildren have tomorrow. I don't know that. Doesn't that humble you down and make you that little speck? But I know who does. I know who's holding it all in His hands. It's all dependent, everything, on if the Lord wills. You will not walk out this door this afternoon unless the Lord wills. You won't get up tomorrow morning and have the sanity to get out of bed unless the Lord wills. That's what we know, isn't it? That's what a believer knows. That's how a believer is living their life. An acknowledgement. If the Lord wills, it's all dependent upon God. A couple of things here. They know, number one, life itself is dependent upon God. Verse 15, if the Lord lives, we shall what? Live. So I was just talking about, I don't know if I have tomorrow. I don't know if my wife does. My children do. Life itself, every breath, every heartbeat, every moment of every day, totally dependent upon if the Lord wills. It's all by His mercy and grace. And then secondly, they're living and knowing every circumstance is completely dependent upon God. Verse 15, if the Lord lives, we shall live and do this or that. The circumstances of our life, the plans of our life. They know that everything they plan to do, every circumstance of life, every circumstance of every moment of every day is all completely, totally dependent upon God, if the Lord wills. And you think of that, and you just look at your own heart at times, and you look at a lost world, you know that most people are getting up every day, doing all they do, thinking they are rulers of their own destinies. They're going to call the shots. They're going to go here. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And they do not know that God and God alone is giving them every moment, every breath, every heartbeat. The Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we'll walk out of these doors today and have more life. If the Lord lives, we'll get up tomorrow morning and have a Monday. If the Lord wills, we'll go to work. Do you see that? It's all dependent upon Him. And so we have to step back and just ask, do we realize that? And we would say, well, sure. Sure we do. A lot of us be quick just to jump the gun. Sure. But are you living each day in the reality of that truth with it burning in your heart moment by moment, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all throughout those days? That's the calling. To live your life in utter surrender to God. What does that mean? It means you get up Monday morning and you fall on your face and you open up the Word and say, God, You've got my life and this day in Your hands. And if You will, O Lord, help me to live for You. Help me when I go to work to be salt and light. Help me to be crucified with Christ. Help me not to take one step in my flesh. Help me to be filled with your Spirit and my mind saturated with word and truth, and help me to be engaging the lost around me every moment, every day. God, I don't know what all today's going to hold, but give me the grace to be wise, to respond rightly, to deal with all the circumstances that come my way in a manner that would honor and bring glory to you. That's what we're talking about here. This ain't just knowing this in your mind, giving, you know, acknowledgement of that in your thoughts or with your lips. This is living this day in and day out, to live in light of these truths, to truly pull away and surrender that day and everything in that day to God. And the moment you step outside of His will, to repent and get right back where you need to be. Listen, is this how you're living? Moment by moment, day by day? We're to live in this awareness and in surrender to God's will and desperate seeking of Him to lead us to walk in a way that would honor Him. It's all dependent upon Him. It's all according to Him. So here's the truth. God and His sovereign power and will is to be at the center of our thoughts and life and plans. God, His sovereign power, His will, what's revealed in His truth, what He would have us to do on Monday at work, Monday with our family, our wives, our children, every moment of the day, it is to be all in the center, given up, surrendered to God's will, His sovereignty, His thoughts, His truth. Anything else is foolishness. Anything else is boasting. Anything else is acting like Satan. Anything else is the vileness of sin. You say, how do I know what God wants? It's right here in the book. What about those specific things? If you're living by the book and seeking to do what you know God wants you to do, what He has revealed, and you're acknowledging God and all those other things and desperately seeking God to lead you into His will. He promises to. Is God faithful? Have you learned God is faithful, church? You do. You know that. He will lead you. Anything less, foolish presumption. And God's calling us to wake up. Here's what we know, okay? Let me sum up just three bottom line things. All people, nations, and powers are under God's authority. That's good to know, amen? All events fall into God's calendar. And all of life's circumstances fit somewhere in God's plan. Nothing you're dealing with that hasn't been fitted into God's plan. If it's not in God's plan, it would never entered your life. And so the Christian is determined then to submit his life moment by moment, day by day, fully into the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And not just think about that every now and then, but every day, surrendered, given over, given up, seeking God's will and living it out. Another passage as I close that just lays this out, Matthew 7, the end of Matthew 7. There's a wise man and there's a foolish man, isn't there? And the wise man built his house upon what? The rock. And in that passage, the rock is Christ and the words of Christ. It is Christ, your life, your salvation, built upon the person of Christ. And then all through the Scripture, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. It's building your life upon the things He has spoken. That wise man builds his life upon Christ. Everything Christ has spoken, every moment of the day, he's living for Christ. He's living in acknowledgement of Christ, surrendered to Christ, going after the will of Christ, truly. And the winds and the rains and the storms come and beat on that man, beat on that life, beat on that house, but it could not fall, it would not fall, absolutely cannot, because it's founded upon Christ and His truth. An eternal, unshakable foundation. But that foolish man built his house on the sand. And he might have known about Christ and heard some of that truth, but he just lived his life consistently, habitually, doing what he decided he would do. Not considering God, not considering Christ, not considering the will of Christ, just living life, living life, living life. Some of those lives might even be very successful in worldly eyes. But when the storms came and the judgment of God came down on that soul and it was required of thee, he was destroyed. because it was founded on the sand. And so how are you living your life? How are you building your life? Moment by moment, day by day. The danger of presumptuous living. Only two ways to live life. Foolishly, presuming upon God and presuming upon life and more days, or in great wisdom and submission to God and according to God's will and God's ways. One or the other. Which one are you? Which one are you? Let's stand. Brenda's going to come and lead us in a hymn. What hymn's that going to be, Brenda? 157. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer and just ask God to help us. But listen, take this to heart. As you search your heart out before God, if God was to sift your heart right here and right now, dear believer, dear lost person, whoever it is, if God sifted your heart this morning, where would He find you living? In foolish presumption, or truly moment by moment, every decision of your life, from the smallest to the greatest? Oh God, I want to walk in a manner that honors You. Seeking God in prayer and in the Word and living that way day by day. Or would He find you off track and just living life and so busy you're not really living this way? Where would He find you? Surrender to God. Maybe you need to be saved this morning. Come this morning and just surrender your life to Christ. He has died for your sins. He has made a way of victory over death and sin. He has made a way for those who are sinners to be forgiven of sin and reconciled to God and given the gift of everlasting life and to know that they're His and live for Him. He has done it all. Flee from sin. Flee from foolishness of living life apart from true saving faith in Christ and run to Jesus and put your faith in Him. And He'll save you. Turn from your sin, call upon Him as Savior and Lord. He will reach down and save you. If you've just drifted as a Christian and you've kind of fallen into that rut and you've drifted from prayer and really surrendering to God day by day, moment by moment, you find yourself often just worldly minded and not where God's called you to be, then come and acknowledge that to God. You come this morning as we pray. Father, we just thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word and Your truth. I pray that Your Spirit has been effective and just driving it into our hearts. I pray that our hearts are not so hard. We just have let it bounce off and we haven't taken it in and we haven't really considered the things You've said to us today. I pray that You've truly grabbed us by the ear and called us to listen up, and the things You have spoken have weighed heavily on us. And I pray specifically for those who are lost that they would be saved. They would flee from sin and they would know that Jesus is their only hope, and they would come abandoning sin and coming to Christ and turning to Him, putting their faith in Him as Savior and Lord. And those who are Yours, God, I pray this has woke us up today and awakened us and has just searched our own heart. And God, that we would be obedient. We would be honest and humbled and come down here this morning and just say, God, so often I drift from this. So often I'm just winging it. So often my heart is worldly minded and I'm not surrendered. And I need You. I don't want to waste my life and my days. Oh God, help me for Your name and Your glory. And so, God, help us to respond in obedience to You. Maybe there's something else You've got Your finger on in someone's life. Your will be done in us, for Your name, Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.